Zach is going to open up the word and trust we're going to hear a personal word from the Lord, and we're going to ask the Lord to give him inspiration. You know, it's one thing to have studied and have all these good notes. Can't see them. They're not on. It's okay. He'll get that. But it's one thing to have the notes, but it's another to have inspiration, and that's the breath of God upon our lives. So let us pray. Heavenly Father, this morning we give you thanks for you are so good. Thank you, Father, for the word of God. Thank you that you've breathed the scriptures so that we can find Jesus, because Jesus is life. The scriptures, they're wonderful, but they lead us to Jesus. And Father, this morning it's our desire that you'd breathe upon our hearts with one word to our heart, maybe five, I don't know, maybe the whole thing. We can drink it all in, Lord, but fill us, we pray, with the Holy Ghost. Fill Zach as he preaches this morning, inspire his heart, even as he prepares his heart, even as he's prepared his heart, and even as he's studied, Lord, bring life to and meaning to your word for your glory, in Jesus' name.
Thank you. Well, welcome everyone here this morning. Good to see so many people here. As Chris was reading through everything, I wasn't sure I'd get a chance to get up here. So there was a lot of stuff to happen. So I'm glad that that I got the chance to stand up here and share with you this morning. A few things about Crane Lake. I really enjoyed the presentation this morning, Ron and Luke. Thank you for all the work that you put in up there. We were up as a youth group in October, and that was one of my first weekends spent with the youth, and it was a lot of fun. I greatly enjoyed it. I thought I got to know a lot of them a lot better. They probably got to know me a lot better. And it was just a wonderful time, and Ron and Luke are just amazing salt of the earth men, and they would be wonderful to spend time with. So if you are a young man and you feel led in this way, I can assure you that the team up there is a wonderful team to work with. We're going to dive in here. I was a little nervous this morning for some reason. I'm not sure why. Just a little extra nervous, but not yet I, but through Christ in me, I guess. So we're gonna dive in here shortly. Just a couple things that I wanted to talk about. How many of you here made New Year's resolutions in January? All right, and how many of you are still keeping up with those New Year's resolutions? There's a lot of kind of, sorta. A lot of kind of, sorta. That's okay. I don't put a lot of stock into New Year's resolutions. I don't think that it's always good to resolve to do better, but there's just something about that can make it kind of tough to carry on with. Now, I made a New Year's resolution this year, and that's what I'm going to talk about this morning. My New Year's resolution was to know God better. And there's so many times and so many people that they know so much about something. And you might have a lot of knowledge about an athlete or an author. You might have read all their books. Or a music artist, you can know all their songs off by heart. You could memorize them. You could know a lot about them. But if you went to their house, would they let you in? You have a lot of knowledge about them, but you don't know them. And I feel like so many times in our life, that's what we're dealing with when we as Christians, we know so much about God, but we don't know him. And those kids that go to Crane Lake, their main problem is they don't know they're loved. They've never experienced that before. They don't know that there's blessings and there's love for them available. And that's the way we are in our Christian life too sometimes. And I just want to dive in a little bit here into John. How many of you remember the message that Jonathan shared on John chapter 14? How many of you remember that? Not very many? Good, because that's where we're going again today. John chapter 14, we'll begin at verse 1. We're going to sort through just a few things. Now, this is Jesus speaking to the disciples very soon after. In chapter 13, the chapter before that, a few things happened that were quite significant. Jesus washed the disciples' feet. He also revealed to them that one of them would betray him. And then in chapter 14, he gives them some pretty earth-shattering, some fairly significant promises that they can, that they have the opportunity to take or to leave. So let's go to John 14, verse 1. "Let not your hearts be troubled. Believe in God. Believe also in me. In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, would I have told you that I go to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and will take you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. And you know the way to where I am going." Thomas said to him, "Lord, we do not know where you are going. How can we know the way?" Jesus said to him, "I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you had known me, you would have known my Father also. From now on, you do know him and have seen him." Philip said to him, "Lord, show us the Father, and it is enough for us." Jesus said to him, "Have I been with you so long, and you still do not know me, Philip? Whoever has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, 'Show us the Father'? Do you not believe that I am the Father and the Father is in me? The words that I say to you, I do not speak on my own authority, but the Father who dwells in me does his works. Believe me that I am in the Father and the Father is in me, or else believe on account of the works themselves. Truly, truly, I say to you, whoever believes in me will also do the works that I do, and greater works than these will he do, because I am going to the Father. Whatever you ask in my name, this I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask me anything in my name, I will do it." We're just going to stop there for a second. Verse 1, "Let not your hearts be troubled." As a Christian, part of the result of knowing God and knowing the love of God and having an intimate relationship with him is that your life will be marked with peace. A deep peace that goes beyond anything that could physically happen to you. No matter what, we know that Christ loves us, that God loves us, and is coming back for us. Think of this also from the disciples' standpoint. So now things had kind of come to a head here. And Jesus knew that his life, his time on earth was coming to an end. And he's trying to prepare the disciples' hearts for that. He's trying to prepare them for the fact that he's going to be going away and the Spirit's going to be coming. And their best friend that they've followed and been with for the last 3.5 years or so is about to leave. In verse 5, Thomas says to him, "Lord, we do not know where you are going. How can we know the way?" And Jesus says to him, "I am the way." And this is often in our lives, we read the Bible and we might We might ask God, hey, just show us. Show us what to do. Give us some steps on how to do this. And that's what the disciples are asking here. How will we know what to do? And how will we know the way? And Jesus says to them, I am the way. It's less about a process and more about a relationship with him. It's less about knowing facts or information, and more about knowing Jesus' heart and knowing the heart of God. If we know him, we know the way, and he's putting the emphasis on a relationship with him. In verse 8, Philip said to him, Lord, show us the Father, and it is enough for us. Jesus said to him, I have been with you so long, and you still do not know me, Philip? Whoever has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, show us the Father? Do you not believe that I am in the Father, and the Father is in me? The words that I say to you, I do not speak on my own authority, but the Father who dwells in me does his works. Believe me that I am the Father and the Father is in me, or else believe on account of the works themselves. Once again, think of this from their perspective. We know so much about Jesus and his life and the plan of salvation and how the Holy Spirit is gifted to us, but Philip, everything he loves is standing right in front of him, and everything he knows is in Jesus, and he wants to see the Father, and Jesus is trying to drive home to him that he and the Father are one. And then in verse 12, truly, truly, I say to you, whoever believes in me will also do the works that I do. And greater works than these will he do because I am going to the Father. Whatever you ask in my name, this I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask me anything in my name, I will do it. And there's really no way of grasping that in the 15 seconds that it takes to read it. So much about knowing God is getting in the Word and sitting by yourself and just saying the words of Jesus over and over and over again and letting them soak into your heart and your mind. These verses should get us extremely excited. How can you read this and not think that there could be more? There could be more for you. Whoever believes in me will also do the works that I do, and greater works than these will he do, because I am going to the Father. Whatever you ask in my name, this I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask me anything in my name, I will do it. I've heard it described before that we need to read the Bible less like a book and more like a menu. Because when you read a menu, it leads you to something. You read that menu and you think, you know what, I want that steak. I want that salmon. I want that vegan option, God help us. But it leads you to desire something. And that's what the Word of God should do. You should read these verses and think to yourself, I want to do that. I want to do the works that Jesus did. And with Christ in us, with the Holy Spirit in us, it says that because he went to the Father and sent the Holy Spirit, we have that ability. And it's just an incredible thing to think about. I'm going to keep reading here in verse 15. John chapter 14, verse 15. If you love me, you will keep my commandments. And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper to be with you forever. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees him nor knows him. You know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you. I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. Yet a little while, and the world will see me no more, but you will see me. Because I live, you also will live. In that day, you will know that I am in my Father, and you in me, and I in you. Whoever has my commandments and keeps them, he it is who loves me. And he who loves me will be loved by my Father. And I will love him and manifest myself to him. Judas, not Iscariot, said to him, Lord, how is it that you will manifest yourself to us and not the world? Jesus answered him, If anyone loves me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him. And we will come to him and make our home with him. Whoever does not love me does not keep my words, and the word that you hear is not mine, but the Father's who sent me. These things I have spoken to you while I am still with you. But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I have said to you. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you, not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your hearts be troubled, neither let them be afraid. We'll stop there for a minute. We could keep reading through chapters 15, 16, and 17, and it's really just a continuation of everything that we're reading here. But in verse 16, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper to be with you forever. This is the key to the things we read about in verse 12 to 14. He's made a way that God can actually dwell in us through the Spirit. The disciples had witnessed it at work in Jesus, but soon it would be available to them, and God would be dwelling in them. Verse 20, in that day you will know that I am in my Father, and you in me, and I in you. Whoever has my commandments and keeps them, he it is who loves me, and he who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will love him and manifest myself to him. The repeating message from Jesus throughout his teachings is that those who love him will keep his commandments. And if you love the Father, he will love you and he will manifest himself to you. And I just leave that as a challenge. Manifest here, that has the idea of revealing. Jesus will reveal himself to you. And I just want to say that look at your life and ask yourself, has Jesus revealed himself to me? And maybe you don't know what this all means, and I don't necessarily know either, but I want to know. And that should be the desire of all of us, that we just want to know what it is that is available to us, and we just want to realize that we have that power, and we just want to realize that and have Jesus reveal himself to us. And then verse 23. If anyone loves me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him. And just think about that, that as you love the Father, as you love God, he loves you, and he will make his home with you. And if you think about how much the Father loved the Son, that's how much Christ loves us. And so many of these things, you just need to sit on them for a while. Just let them soak in. Let it marinate. And you just need to take time to realize the love that he has for you. And I pray that that never becomes normal for me or for any of you, that Christ loves us so much. As much as the Father loved him, he loves us. And they will come and make a home with us, in us. And then in verse 25, these things have I spoken to you while I am still with you, but the Helper, the Holy Spirit, who the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I have said to you. And he just says that when I leave, the Holy Spirit's going to come and he's going to work in your lives and reveal all those things that I've told you. And he's going to bring them to remembrance. And I think as a Christian, we just should want to know those things. We should just want to desire those things that Christ has promised and that he has made available. And we could read on in the next chapter, John 15. Jesus talks a lot about abiding in him. And we try to, often we add Jesus on to the end of everything. But if you read through John 15, and I encourage all of you to do that sometime. So much abiding in Jesus is knowing, and knowing him is putting off the old and putting on the new. If you really want to know these things, it will take sacrifice. Jesus invites us to abide in him, to stay in him, to remain in him, and he will abide in us. And he says in chapter 15, as the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Abide in my love. So as much as the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Abide in my love. Just take that phrase and say it to yourself a few times. Just think about that. As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Abide in my love. It's about so much more than knowing about him. We have to know him. As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Abide in my love. In Matthew 7, it talks about, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter into the kingdom of heaven, but the one who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. On that day, many will say to me, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name and cast out demons in your name and do mighty works in your name? And then I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you workers of lawlessness. There'll be people who get to the end, who know so much about God, who get to the end and he'll say, I never knew you. And maybe we taught Sunday school or we led worship or we preach sermons. But we never knew him. And you might say, Lord, I did all these things. I led the youth. I preached. I led worship. I taught Sunday school. I helped the poor. I served at Crane Lake. But when in all that was your heart drawn closer to the Father? When in all that was your desire to know him, to know his heart? We heard a few weeks ago in our Bible study about David who meditated on the law. And he just wanted to know the heart of God. That's why he meditated on it. He just knew that the law was the heart of God, and he just meditated on it. And he just let it marinate, and he let it soak in, and he just found blessing in that. We're going to have communion here in a few minutes, I believe. And so much about knowing God is displayed in communion. And as we sing and take communion, let's take a really deep look and really ask ourselves, is there something in the way that's keeping me from the intimate fellowship with the Father? Take a good look at our desires and our hearts. And just think about what we desire. Do we want to actually know the heart of the Father? In Ephesians 3, verse 14. For this reason I bow my knees before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth is named, that according to the riches of his glory he may grant you to be strengthened with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may have strength to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and the length and the height and the depth, and to know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. That should just be our heart's cry as Christians. The strength to comprehend the breadth and the length and the height and the depth, and to know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. The result of knowing the Father is a life full of joy and full of meaning and just a full, complete life in Father. The result of knowing God and his love is a life marked by a full, complete joy that nothing can shatter. And I just want to read in closing John 15, 9 to 11. As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may be in you, and that your joy may be full. Just let that soak in. As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Abide in my love. God bless.